ready for two guys who can handle the truth.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
But we can. Dave Palumbo, John Romano. RxMuscle.com presents Heavy Muscle Radio. Watch out! This hour of Heavy Muscle Radio is brought to you by ALR Industries. Visit ALRIndustries.com.
Welcome to another exciting episode of Heavy Muscle Radio. I'm John Romano, and I'm joined, as always, by my partner in crime, Big Dave Palumbo. Dave, another week past the Olympia is come and gone, and the fallout isn't as bad as I thought.
I've gotten the extra name Big now.
Yes, because I was looking at you before, and you know, I don't know, what have you been doing?
I don't know why. You think I'm getting bigger?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's ridiculous that you had, like, stopped bodybuilding and you keep growing.
I don't know.
And you do these 15-minute workouts four times a week, and you defy logic.
It's an illusion. I figured this is my theory, and I think I've been testing it. It's been working out. The longer you train, the less you have to train.
Well, yeah, you build the base, and then, you know, you keep it up. But, I mean, I don't know what my problem is, but...
You never built the base to begin with.
What are you talking about? You built the base. Of course I built the base, and I lost it five different times. It's hard to put back.
I think you lost it for too long. That's the key.
You've only gotten divorced once, kids. You have no idea what I go through.
You're right. I defer to you 100%. Now, did you hear Rio de Janeiro won the Olympics for 2016?
I was actually watching the news when they had made the announcement, and I was particularly disturbed in the beginning because, you know, you had Obama and you had Mr. and Mrs. Obama and Oprah Winfrey over there. I don't know what the fuck Oprah was doing over there.
She's from Chicago.
She could prove that they have all kinds of ethnic foods available, you know.
They wanted the Olympics in Chicago, right?
Right, yeah. To pad all the freaking cronies over there. So they were, you know, if they weren't going over there to have it in New York, they were going over there to have it in Chicago. And I was just hoping that maybe... the Olympic Committee saw through it and decided on the right thing. They blew Chicago out of the water in the first round. I was really happy to see that, you know, Rio de Janeiro got it, because now there's going to be a big boost in the infrastructure in Rio, and much needed, by the way. And hopefully they'll do something about the crime. And
from what I understand, the corruption's worse there than in Chicago.
I would probably say it's about even.
I don't know about that. I heard the Brazilian government is ultra corrupt.
Well, what government isn't corrupt? Yeah. I mean, maybe Lithuania? I don't know. But our government should talk. We're the most corrupt government on the face of the earth.
Right. Now, why do we want the Olympics even here? Is it bringing a lot of revenue?
Well, you know, when the Olympics was in L.A. in 84, I mean, it had a tremendous boost to the economy. You know, a lot of people moved, you know, came for the Olympics and stayed, and it increased, you know, the job market, it increased the economy, it increased, you know, everything.
I thought we're trying to get rid of immigrants. We don't want them.
Well, certain immigrants I think you do want, but and I don't think the people that came to L.A. in 84 were the ones picking strawberries, but... you know, the overall economic boost was far reaching. We built a lot of new buildings. We built a lot of infrastructure. We built a lot of things that stayed and are still part of the staple of the LA economy. Obviously, you know, business owners, politicians, people in charge of permits and all of that crap stand to get a lot of palms padded, you know, when the Olympics are coming. So, you know, the corrupt government in Chicago, which is probably the most corrupt state in the union, you know, was going to stand to make a lot of side money on this deal. Yeah. And I'm glad that somebody saw through it and they lost it.
Now, I mean, to bring this back to bodybuilding, I just can't understand why their bodybuilding is not in the Olympics at this point in time. Because you know what? I'm so sick of seeing these stupid... what is it? That shuttle thing they put with the... they have like shuffleboard, don't they?
Oh, the curling?
Curling or the ice, the shuffleboard with the ping pong. You know, this is ridiculous, right? I mean, come on. You know what? We all know that all the athletes take steroids anyway. What's the difference? If you could pass the freaking test, put bodybuilding in there, don't you think?
Well, you know, this was a ongoing debate, you know, when Ben Weider was alive, that I was, you know, attacking him for many, many years. And I think what I really think is that the reason you can't have bodybuilding in the Olympics is that the sport is so subjective that there's just... I mean, something like figure skating is subjective. You're grading somebody on the way they do execute their moves. Right. But at least they are executing established moves.
Like, well, we have poses.
I know, but you, if somebody hits a double axel and when they're ice skating,
right?
If the leg is out or if they miss, they blow the thing, whatever. It's a technical achievement that you can see whether they technically do it correct or not. You can technically hit a double bicep better than the next guy and still lose the round because you know you're not hard enough, you're not lean enough.
Well, there's different criteria. That's why
it's too subjective.
I don't,
and it's too drug dependent.
It's not, though, because you know what? It's no more drug-dependent than running the 100 meters in less than 9 seconds.
But the guy who wins the 100, you can clearly see who won the race. You can't clearly see. If you were in New York during any of the shows, and you went out on the street, and you grabbed somebody off the street who knew nothing about bodybuilding, dragged them inside the Tribeca Performing Arts Center, sat them in the front row, and said, "Watch this show. Now you tell me if you can figure out why this guy won." No one will be able to tell you.
You couldn't tell that Jay Cutler was the rightful winner of the Olympia?
No. Not to us, we could, but if you took
That's why you have to educate the freaking people watching this stuff.
How are you going to do that?
How are you going to do that? You have commentators like yourself and me, and then when they have the Olympics on, we're explaining what the criteria that the judges are judging on. And once people become educated as to what to look for, they'll become much more educated when they watch the events. But no one's even going that far.
Well, Ben Weider couldn't do it.
Yeah, if he couldn't do it, I don't know if anyone can do it.
And I'm sure he padded palms and he had the money to do it. So if he couldn't,
well, he should have used. Never mind. I'm not going
to
even say it.
We're not allowed to say that.
I don't want to talk about it. But yeah, I don't know. You know, I don't think anything is forever. You know, unavailable to do. But I think it's going to take the right lobby to make it happen.
I think part of the problem also, Dave, is the fact that you know we are the only sport in the world that has a natural division and an unnatural division. So, you know, here you've got, you know, the world championships.
Well, that's not true because you got, you know, some events, like when you're in college, okay, you're drug tested in college sports. High school sports doesn't drug test, right?
No. I'm talking about elite level. I mean, you can have the Mr. Universe, for example, is supposedly a drug tested show.
Right.
Okay. The Mr. Olympia is not a drug testing
show.
But
it would be very easy to, you know, to institute drug testing if they really wanted to.
But then the sport would fall apart. We want to watch a bunch of natural bodybuilding.
No, you know what? You remember in the 70s you had professional hockey players and then you had amateur hockey players.
Right.
The amateurs were the ones who competed in the Olympics. The professional ones didn't. Okay? So that's what you do for bodybuilding. You know, Jay Cutler's not going to do the Olympics. But on the amateur level, where you have drug testing all over the world except the United States, you know, on the amateur level, those are the people who would compete in the Olympics.
Well, supposedly, that's what we have. The universe
set it up for, right?
Well, yes. That's supposedly what it is. But
right.
The problem is that the IFBB recognizes, 170-something nations.
Right.
Okay? And each nation has an affiliate. In the United States, the amateur affiliate of the IFBB is the NPC.
Right.
Does the NPC drug test?
Well, they supposedly have a random program in place, but I don't know what the testing procedure is. But look, it could be very easily instituted if we wanted to. I'm sure if Jim Mannion knew that the bodybuilding was going to be allowed in the Olympics, he would institute, you know, the required IOC drug testing on the amateur level.
Who would pay for it?
Would pay for it. It would fund itself. The NPC makes plenty of money. I'm sure they can handle the drug testing process. You'd only be drug testing the national events.
I don't know. If it was that easy, they would have done it by now. I mean, Ben Weider devoted his entire life to doing it, and Ben Weider was a very smart guy. He was one of those kinds of statesmen, almost. I mean, he traveled the world. He knew everybody. He was the man who, if anybody could bring people together, it was Ben Weider. That was his mission in life.
Well, he made inroads. Now someone else has to take the reins and run with it.
He didn't make any inroads after what's his name? Samarack got out of office, and now Jacques Roach came in. He went to Jacques Roach during a dinner and asked if bodybuilding could be in the Olympics, and Jacques Roach says, "Sure, over my dead body."
Well, we have to wait till Jacques Roach dies. That's all. Well, you know, I'm also sick of, I got to tell you, there's something I'm a little pissed off about. This whole contest guru thing. You know, I'm obviously a part of this whole thing, but you know, I'm sick of these competitors blaming the contest gurus for not coming in shape. You know, Chad takes a bad rap, and I'll tell you why I think he takes a bad rap, because this guy has gotten more people in shape over the last 15 years or so, specifically his wife,
right,
is a perfect example of someone who's gotten in shape every single time. And now, you know, the Olympia comes, and a couple guys he helped, Victor and Dennis Wolf, weren't in the greatest shape, and now they're all of a sudden saying the guy doesn't know what he's doing. Obviously, he knows something about what he's doing because he helped a ton of people, from Flex Wheeler and Ronnie Coleman and all these Nasser, all these guys get in shape. And now they're saying he doesn't know anything. You know, now they're trying to, you know, depose of him and say that there's some new guy that knows something, you know, about what he's doing. What do you think about this whole lack of loyalty, I call it?
It's something that has befallen me too, Dave. You know, I think you, as far as gurus go, you're only as good as your last failure.
Right.
Because, you know, I mean, I took Shelley Beattie, for example, who, you know, couldn't place, you know, in the top, barely placed in the top 10 at the Miss International, to the next year, working with me, placed third in the Miss Olympia behind Laura Crivell and Linda Murray. And I started getting all kinds of people. Then I almost killed Paul Dillette, and no one wants to talk to me anymore. So, you know, it's what? You know, this whole... Dan Duchesne always told me there's only two ways you learn anything in this contest prep business, and that is either through failure or serendipity. Now, we have... The number of fortunate accidents pale in comparison to the failures, and it's through those failures that we learn. I'm sure Chad Nichols hasn't thrown away any of the information he learned from Dennis Wolf or Melvin Anthony or Dennis Wolf. I said Dennis Wolf twice, didn't I?
Yeah.
And Victor Martinez. Victor Martinez. Okay, Victor Martinez, I'm not even going to put in the equation because that guy went through hell this year, right. So leave him out.
That's something you can't quantify, because you don't know if the athlete is having stress in their life, if they're following everything you're doing, if the supplements they're using are real. Yeah, there's a lot of variables that I think the contest dieter or diet trainer gets blamed for, that it's not appropriate here. I mean, God, I mean, these pro bodybuilders switch trainers like George Steinbrenner, and I used to fire Billy Martin. I mean, it's unbelievable.
At the end of the day, Dave, it's not the guru that's doing the cardio. It's not the guru that's in the gym. It's not the guru that's weighing his food and doing the right thing. I mean, what was Dennis Wolf's excuse last year? That he didn't understand the diet, you know, that he was eating carbs. He shouldn't have been eating carbs at the grams or whatever.
Maybe Dennis thought he was going to be too flat and he was eating extra food. I don't know. You know, we don't know what was going on in his... I can't believe Chad would be that off, you know, with this one guy this year. Something else come into play, and we're not getting the full story, I believe. And, you know, to believe that Jay Cutler, you know, regained the Mr. Olympia crown by doing FST 7 training is absolutely ludicrous.
He didn't
obviously
do it.
Obviously, Hani put him on a more appropriate diet.
Right.
Okay. And that's how he came into shape better. Training doesn't influence your conditioning level.
Well,
you know that.
Jay did not do FST 7.
No.
Okay, so let's establish that.
I mean,
right,
he might
away.
Have done it a little bit in the beginning of the year, but it, even if he did it, it's that's not what got him in shape.
Of
you
course.
And I know that. The diet did.
Of course. And, you know, as the guru, you have no control over these people. The reason why, one of the reasons why Chad had such good results with Kim is the same reason I had such great results with Shelley, is because we had total control. I mean, I made all her meals. I weighed everything. I did cardio with her. I made sure she did everything. I checked the garbage can for wrappers, the car seat for crumbs. I mean, when you have that kind of control over somebody, you can make the adjustments. You see them every day. You know what their energy level is. And that's why Chris Aceto has such great results with his people. It's because he gets in there with them. He stays with them. He lives with them. They the last couple of weeks he's with them night and day. That, and he had the same reason why Laura Crivell had such, you know, great results with him. Right. So it's the amount of control that you can exercise over your client. You, Dave, have a tremendous success rate because you have so many clients that the process is your eye has been honed to the point where you can look at a picture and you know week to week what the guy's doing, right, what they're not doing. You can tell if they're cheating, if they're not doing enough cardio.
But even still, sometimes I can't control variables that, like you said, if they cheat. Some people are very honest when they cheat, and then some people don't tell you anything and they hide it.
Right.
They'll tell you after the show is over, and then some people never tell you that they cheated. Well, I didn't think he was giving me enough of this or that, and so I ate more here or I did this here. So there are variables. I just don't like it. It becomes a scapegoat. The contest guru becomes a scapegoat for guys when they don't come in shape, and then when they do come in shape, they're praising them, you know, like they're the new religion. So
the other thing I don't like about it is the gurus that take credit for the win, and it's like, you know, one guy who will remain nameless at this point, you know, there's people he doesn't even work with that he takes credit for. He worked with them 7 years ago, and he's standing there on stage next to him with the number one finger up, you know, hey, she did my diet, you know. What the fuck does that mean? You know, I don't think these athletes give themselves enough credit, and I can't believe that we are evolving. Look, back in the day, there were no gurus. Nobody had one. Everybody got themselves in shape.
Right.
Now we're at a point where we're guru dependent. Nobody can do a show without a guru.
Right.
I mean, what the fuck?
Since people have been using coaches, they're not learning the process. And what I try to do, at least with my athletes, is teach them the science of what they're doing so they can do it themselves.
Right.
Not that they necessarily need to do it themselves, but that they know what they're doing so that they don't feel like, you know, I just spent 5 years with this guy and I know nothing.
That's what I would try to do. I'd say, look, when you notice you feel like this, this means this. If you can't do this, then it means that. If you look like this, it means that. And, you know, you talk to them, you teach them, you educate them on how their own body works. I just think to be guru dependent is ridiculous in this day and age. You know, back in the day, Dave, when you first got in shape, when I first got in shape, who helped us? You know?
Well, you know what it is? I think that the gurus have to stop making the athletes dependent upon them. I never felt that. I always felt that empower the athlete. The athlete will stay with you because for the same reason Tiger Woods still has a coach. You know, it's hard to advise yourself.
It's nice to have a second pair of eyes or a second opinion. But at the end of the day, it's you're the one, the athlete is the one weighing out their food, doing the training, knowing if they're training hard enough, while they're doing cardio, if their heart rate is in the right place, and what have you. The guru cannot climb into their head and know those nuances of what they're doing for their prep work. All the guru can do is know if it's enough or not,
right,
and if they're getting you know, if their target date is going to be met or not. I think for some of these gurus, they force the dependency on them and create guru-dependent athletes. These guys can't even get out of bed without calling the freaking guru.
You're right. I don't like that. That's not how I operate. That's why some people don't work with me, because they want their hand held. They want to be, you know, babysat. I'm not going to do that. I believe in empowering and then giving people the proper knowledge they need to do what they have to do. I'll be there to support them, obviously, but not to hold their hands the whole way through, because I think that fosters dependency in a sense. And like I said, there's different approaches, you know, that you have to take. And, you know, the big thing at the elite level, at the pro level, is that these athletes all want to win. And it's hard to tell someone you don't have the genetics to be Ronnie Coleman, because they don't want to hear that. And so that's why a lot of these guys jump around from people to person. They want to find the person who's going to tell them what they want to hear.
Right.
And, you know, I believe in brutal honesty. I kind of tell my guys the way it is. And a lot of guys like that, appreciate that. Some guys don't want to hear it. And they'll find someone to tell them what they want. It's like the girl who goes to the plastic surgeon. She wants 1,000 cc implants, and you know, most of them won't do it. And then they find the one that'll do it, and that's who they get their surgery done with.
Right. That's what Duchesne taught me, is that you be honest with them. It's sometimes the most difficult thing to do, but some people, you know, I think what's worse, telling a person, hey, you look great, you know, or tell a person, look, you look like shit. I wouldn't get on stage if I were you.
It's tough. It's a tough thing. You know, switching gears for a second here, I got to talk about vaccines, John. I've been reading about vaccines, you know, how these parents now don't want to vaccinate their kids because they think they're going to become autistic.
Right.
My whole thing is, how come when we were kids and we got vaccinated, no one got autistic? No one had any problems. You never heard about any vaccine issues. We all were immune to every disease that at the time they can have vaccinated us against, and every and life was great. What's going on in modern society that all of a sudden vaccines have become the antichrist?
You know, I think it goes along with the blanket idea that as we've progressed as human beings and as a society, that we've become susceptible to so many bad things. You know, when I was a kid, when you were a kid, we had no car seats. We had no helmets for bicycles. We had no, you know, now you see a kid roller skating now. He's got a helmet, shin guards, a nose guard, and freaking knee guards, elbow pads, wrist guards. We didn't have any of that shit. Yeah. And we're still alive.
Yeah.
You know, when I was in school, everybody learned. We didn't have some kids who were ADD, some kids who had bipolar, some kids who had dyslexia. You know, some kids were slower than others. Some kids really wanted the slow. The good kids helped the slow kids. Everybody graduated. We all became lawyers and doctors and professionals and, you know, and everything else. I don't get this. That now it's peanuts. Now you got peanuts. I was bringing something to my kids to Max's class, and they had to ask me if there were peanuts in it.
Yeah, like all of a sudden kids are dying from peanuts.
They
didn't die 20 years ago from peanuts. But now they're dying from peanuts.
They're fucking cupcakes.
Why does everyone have a tutor now?
Tutors.
Tutors and coaches.
Biggie Small's freaking 3-year-old daughter has a tutor already.
Right. What is she tutoring? What is she being tutored for?
Latin. To the tutoring room in Latin. And, you know, the coaches. You know, you got kids in Little League. He has to have a batting coach.
The fuck does he need a batting coach for? He's going to Little League. He can have some fun.
Right.
You know?
It's tough, man.
7 years old with a batting coach.
There's too much specialization in this world. That's the problem.
You know, the problem is the parents. The parents have become so affluent and so concerned. You know, you got these. I see this in my kids' school all the time. You got these mothers. They got the hardest job they have to do is to hold their left arm up because the freaking ring on their finger is so goddamn big. You know, they're driving the $150,000 SUV to school with the kids in it. Their lives revolve around the kids. And they take them everywhere. They got karate, ballet, baseball, bowling, soccer. And all of these sports are not designed to teach these kids anything. The soccer teams don't even fucking keep score.
We can go into a whole other thing. I want to bring us back to the vaccines thing. What the fuck is with not vaccinating the kids?
It's part of...
What's this? I don't get it, John. Now all of a sudden kids are getting measles and they're wondering why.
Right. Polio. You want to get that polio? What's worse, autism or polio? Right. Which would you rather have? Exactly. Let me toss a coin here.
Do you really believe that these kids are becoming autistic from the vaccines? How come there was no autistic kids 20 years ago?
Yeah, where's the study? Where's the science?
But, you know, it's a good point. How many of the kids that you grew up with?
Maybe it's the drinking water they were drinking. You ever think about that?
Or the pollution. Or the hormones in the chicken. I don't fucking know. But the problem...
Blame the vaccines.
It's to blame the vaccine. Well, you know, some of the vaccines give you, you know, some reaction. I've just never heard of a kid that was not born autistic becoming autistic because of some freaking vaccine they got. Where did this happen?
There's definitely more cases of autism. But you know what? They're using the same vaccines they used on us.
Right.
And matter of fact, now they're not even using the mercury-based vaccines. We got mercury. We were fine.
Right.
So there's got to be something else going on here. I have a feeling that there's pollutants in the environment that are causing these problems that are... Obviously, the kids are more susceptible to than not the adults, obviously, because the kids have a developing brain. Could be the lack of fat in the diet. Who the freak knows? They should be studying what's going on, why kids are getting autistic, not telling, you know, letting parents say, well, I don't want my kid vaccinated.
I think not vaccinating your child is
irresponsible.
Not only an irresponsibility, it's a travesty because your goal as a parent is to prepare a child for life. And if you, you know, sort of fall back on some crazy idea that the media has put out there and that these, you know, super concerned parents group said, you know, keep peanuts out of the kids' hands, you know, what are these people going to grow up into? They're going to grow up into these hypochondriacal, useless people that they're afraid to go outside.
Yeah. It's all Madonna's fault. She's the one who started all this crap.
Madonna and Oprah. we could have just to think what the society would be like without Madonna and Oprah.
What's with gluten? Kids can't have gluten now all of a sudden.
Oh, gluten. Look at gluten free. Can't have cupcakes.
Yeah, right, exactly. Oh, my God. Well, you know,
changing changing the.
Do you realize the mail we're going to get from this now? My son had an anaphylactic shock because he ate a peanut.
Right.
Well, sue God.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't know. I think that they're crazy, these people. But changing subjects again, Nick the Stick called me, I think it was Saturday night.
Uh-huh.
No, Friday night. Well, he called me yesterday, last night, because we're taping this early.
Right.
And he's like, you know any 24-hour gyms? Now, it was 2 a.m. in the morning, mind you.
Okay.
I'm like, what the fuck do you need a 24-hour gym at 2 a.m. in the morning? He's like, I got to train legs. I'm like, what did you do, eat a jar of peanut butter? I mean, this kid is losing his freaking mind.
Well, you know, it's Jeff's fault.
He trains. Well, Jeff trains late, too. Actually, you changed your schedule, didn't you, Jeff?
Jeff's not here.
Oh, he left?
He left.
Oh, so yeah. Nick the Stick, his training schedule now has deteriorated to like 2 a.m. in the morning. He's looking for gyms to train at. Like,
he's
like a dope fiend looking for a bag of fucking dope to shoot.
Well, you know, he's the low man on the totem pole. He takes a lot of shit from us. So.
I talked him out of it, though. I talked him down. Like the guy on the top of the building ready to jump off. I said, Nick, it's okay. I know you're probably overrate. Wait till tomorrow. Tomorrow morning, go to the gym, get it out of the way.
But he weighs like 230, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does listen, though. He listens.
But he listens to you.
He listens to Jeff, too.
Doesn't listen to me.
No?
I kept telling him to slow down the other day. We're going to the airport.
Well, he knew you guys weren't going to make it. That's why.
Well, but when it became evident that we weren't going to make it, trying to kill us was irrelevant.
You never give up on the drive to the airport. You always push it to the limit. You never driven with Billy Gunz to the airport. That's traumatizing.
Yeah, but, you know, Billy Gunz at least has a few years of experience.
He drives on the curb, though. Which Billy?
But at least Billy's in his 30s. I mean, you know, Nick the Stick is 18. He's going to kill. He's only been driving for 6 months.
That's true. All right. Now, we got a lot of contest coverage, John. You would think that after the Olympia, the contest coverage would die down. But we just put up the Natural Northern Michigan show on the website. We have our great photographer, Jeff Saigo, who's lives in Michigan and covers all the Michigan shows. And I know I've gotten a lot of emails from people who live up there. They're very happy that we've been covering these shows because they never really got a lot of coverage. So Jeff is, I want to just give a personal thank you out to him. And he'll actually be down at the NPC Tri-State, which is in Erie, PA, this following coming weekend. Actually, tonight it is. And he'll be shooting that show. Well, that's my friend Brian Hoydick's show. So we're going to be having some coverage, even though this is a down week for us.
It's great that we have these correspondents all over the country that are willing to do this work for us, because it really gives it's not so much patting us on the back, but the most important thing is that the athletes who are getting ready for these shows, who are competing, who want some exposure, are finally getting it.
Mm. Yeah, representation. They want to see themselves up, you know, and then acknowledged,
and they deserve it.
This is great. Yeah. In weird car news, John, speaking of Nick the Stick driving,
yes,
this woman was fined for allowing her 12-year-old to drive to school with her in the car, of course.
That sounds like something that would happen to me.
This is in Montana. This happened. This woman allowed her 12-year-old daughter to drive the three siblings to daycare.
Oh, God.
And they fined her $1,000. But what do you think about that?
Should have charged her with attempted murder.
It's pretty scary, huh?
Well, you know, there's 12-year-olds and then there's 12-year-olds. I mean, I was racing go-karts and motorcycles when I was 12 years old. So I could have driven to school, no problem. But
well, Montana, too, there's not that much traffic.
Montana's, exactly. There's four cars in Montana.
You know, John, the ironic thing about the whole incident with this driving is that they wanted to really put this woman away because they felt that it was very irresponsible what she did, but the daughter wouldn't testify against the mother, so they had to cut her plea deal with her, and that's why she only got fined $1,000.
Right, but mother probably wouldn't let her drive her again if she testified against her.
Exactly. Maybe it's Nick the Stick's like aunt or something like that from Montana. But you know, there's these new I don't know if you've seen these things. The new hottest gift for Christmas is called Zuzu Pets. Did you see these things, John?
I have not.
They're hamsters. They're like little hamsters that are mechanized hamsters. They're all furry, and they scoot around and they scamper around, and they make noises, and they say things. They squeak. They chatter. They look like robotic hamsters almost.
Animals who don't eat and shit.
Yeah, right. Exactly. That's the
perfect advantage.
Yeah, it is. And so these are the hottest Christmas items. And when I was reading about this, I was so intrigued because I had hamsters when I was a kid. I was a big hamster guy.
Your father told me you were the neighborhood vet.
Right. You heard the whole story. And so I bought a couple of them. I went online. I said, I'm going to get them now because I never buy Christmas presents on time. I'm going to order them now, and I'm going to give them to all the WACPAC members as Christmas gifts. Zuzu Pets.
Suzu pants.
And so I ordered three of them. I didn't order all four of them because I was a little too cheap, but I ordered three of them. And they're already jacked up in price above what they, the suggested retail is $17. They're already over like $28 or something like that a piece. And I ordered them. I fell into the whole trap of, you know, these hottest Christmas item. You know, I think they all create the hype. They make this whole shit up so that they can sell this stuff. And I bought three of these Zuzu pets, and they should be on their way from Amazon.com. We'll have to see.
Well, you know, the ultimate pet is, I mean, if Shrek didn't eat shit and shed, I would love that animal.
Yeah, Shrek being your cat.
Max's cat. Yeah, you're right. So, you know, if you can get a pet that does all the things that pets do except eat shit and shed, you'd sell billions of them because that's the biggest problem with having an animal.
Blecky the snake is pretty cool because, you know, Blecky only eats once a week, and he's actually going on 2 weeks. I got to get him a mouse after this is over.
Right.
And, you know, he only sheds maybe once every 2 months, and he only shits maybe once a month. So, I mean, that's a pretty good pet.
Yeah, but he's not furry, he's got no arms and legs, and he's not cute.
Yeah, he's pretty cute.
He looks like Blackman.
Did you see I put up on the, I don't know if any of you saw it, but if anyone listening to this wants to check it out on the message boards, on the YouTube video, our YouTube page, I put a Blecky the Snake versus Diego the Mouse.
Oh, it's hysterical. Yeah, it's guys have to see it. It's the funniest freaking thing you've ever seen.
Jeff, the producer, filmed it, actually. And then did all the voices of the various animals. And I got to tell you, it's pretty fucking funny.
It's hysterical.
Jeff did a good job.
Yep.
Put a little music in there. We made it. It's like National Geographic.
the Whack Pack's version of the Discovery Channel.
That's true. Right? That's true. Yeah. Did you read the story about this woman who was forced to let die? Well, I should say the doctors were forced to let this woman die. She's a 26-year-old lady who swallowed antifreeze. Okay, and when she swallowed antifreeze, she has a living will that she said that I do not want to be resuscitated. And it's pretty intriguing what happened. She wrote in the note, "If I come to a hospital regarding an overdose on any attempt on my life, I would not like to be saved or given treatments to save me." Now, according to the law, doctors are not allowed to resuscitate her. It will go against her wishes. And they didn't, and they let her die.
Wow.
This is the first in a case of this. Now, what do you think about this? This woman wasn't sick. She wasn't chronically sick. She had nothing wrong with her. She just decided she didn't want to live.
Well, I guess, you know, I guess that's your choice. I mean, if you decide you don't want to live and you take measures to ensure that happening, and you've thought enough ahead to create a document, a legal document, a legal and binding document to say that, you know, you were of sound mind and body when you made this decision. Yeah. And, you know, what are the doctors going to do? I mean, imagine how pissed off she would have been if they resuscitated her. Now, you told me something interesting, that the anecdote for propylene glycol, antifreeze, is, in fact, alcohol.
Yeah, it's regular drinking alcohol.
So she would have had to have gotten drunk.
Well, I think, I don't know if they make you drink it or they actually infuse it into your veins, but what they do is they basically infuse you with alcohol, or they make you drink a ton of alcohol, because alcohol competes with the same enzymes in the liver as does propylene glycol, and it prevents the propylene glycol from being broken down into the toxic metabolite.
So you would have to drink it so it got to your liver.
Yeah, probably, I guess so. So, yeah, obviously they didn't do that. Actually, in the note that she wrote, she even said that she was 100% aware of the consequences of what she did, and that in 99% or 95% of the cases, death ensues, and in the other 3%, kidney failure. And she accepted responsibility for that, and the doctors didn't resuscitate her. Of course, now her family's suing the hospital because they're saying that she was mentally incapacitated because of who in their right mind would make a decision like that. But I don't know. It's an interesting ethical question. I don't know if we're that ethical on this show that we can even debate it.
She was 26?
26 years old, yeah.
She looks like Ruth Silverman.
A young Ruth Silverman.
A young Ruth Silverman.
Yeah. Wow.
As a doctor, you know, what a dilemma. You know, here you take an oath to, to uphold human life and do everything in your power to, preserve it. And here you're faced with a person who wants to take their own life with a legal document stating that they're entitled to make this choice, that they've made this choice, and they want to see it carried through. I imagine that would have to be a difficult decision as a doctor.
Yeah, very, very, very difficult. In the United States, they would have resuscitated. Only in Europe would they allow this to go.
This wasn't here?
No, it was in England.
All this crazy shit happens in England.
there's no lawsuits over there. Yeah, everyone sues everyone. The doctor's like, fuck it, we don't care if she's pissed off. We're resuscitating.
We're resuscitating. Yeah, exactly. That would never happen here.
No.
That's why I was so shocked when you first read it.
Yeah, no. Only in Europe these crazy things happen.
Whoa.
Because they're a little more progressive thinking. And then, you know, God forbid, you know, in the United States, you can actually make up your own mind. You know?
Right.
They don't want to lie to you. Well, we have a great show, John. We have 8-time Mr. Olympia, Ronnie Coleman, on the show, who we're going to hopefully get his feedback on the liftoff between Johnny and Ben White and the Olympia and the whole Olympia weekend. And then we have, of course, our very good friend Mike O'Hearn, who I've been trying to get on the show for quite a while now. And he's quite a powerful guy himself. He's won the Mr. Universe title, natural Mr. Universe, that is, 4 times. And, you know, I think a lot of people are gonna like Mike. A lot of people don't know him. They see this pretty guy on all the magazine covers. He's really a funny guy.
Yeah, he is. Very, very, very self-assured and very funny.
Yeah. He's got a hot girlfriend, too.
Boy, you really like her.
Yeah, I think Sherilyn Roy is probably one of the more underrated figure competitors.
Yes, she is.
But anyway, let's go to commercial break. Let our advertisers get a little plug. And then when we come back, we'll have our first guest.
All right.
This is Heavy Muscle Radio, only on RxMuscle.com. ALR Industries. ALR Industries products are backed by 3 decades of experience in the science and lifelong dedication to bodybuilding from its founder, Arthur L. Ray. In 2001, ALR Industries was created to give the hardcore bodybuilder the edge you need to build the perfect beast. Hyperdrive 3.0 is a synergistic blend of fat-burning herbs which yields the most potent legally available formula on the market today. Hyperdrive 3.0 will burn fat, control your appetite, improve your mood and focus, and give you an energy boost you've never experienced. Restore blocks estrogen, enhances libido, and optimizes free testosterone. You'll be stronger, recover faster, and build muscle like never before. Then, fuel your workouts with the great-tasting and energy-enhancing Hyper Shot. Hyper Shot will boost your athletic performance to new levels, allowing you to train harder, improve your endurance, and get the most out of your time in the gym. Whining is not an option for those who refuse to accept mediocrity. Visit ALRIndustries.com today. When you hit the gym, you set in motion a fundamental set of molecular activation signals and cellular growth mechanisms that deliver your desired gains in mass and strength. The magnitude of those processes, as well as how efficiently your muscles recover force production, can dramatically affect your net progress in a training cycle. Progenics protein supplements interact precisely and powerfully to amplify these pathways to produce enhanced growth responses of 100% or more compared to conventional whey protein sources. And they facilitate full recovery of force production in just 6 hours following the most grueling workout, allowing you to train harder, more frequently, for more dramatic gains. Experience the exclusive metabolic advantage available from Nature's Toolbox and Dr. Scott Connolly, renowned pioneer in applied dairy science and inventor of the original Metrex product. Go to ProgenicsSRG.com and use the code NBR801 to get 10% off the purchase of any single Progenics product. When the world crumbles around you, will you be ready to fight back? Brutal Alchemy Performance Nutrition's unique line of supplements will help you win the war in the gym. Ancient Strength is a unique blend of 3 creatine esters which will infuse you with the ancient strength needed for the battle at hand. Isolation is a pure whey protein isolate that provides 26 grams of protein in every 29-gram scoop. Attack NO2 is Brutal Alchemy's nitric oxide booster that will increase your pumps and performance. After your battle in the gym, it's time for Onslaught, Brutal Alchemy's comprehensive post-workout drink, providing everything you need to suffuse your muscles, joints, and body with the components to heal, grow stronger, and return to the fray. And when it's time to conquer in the bedroom, you'll need Forged Steel, Brutal Alchemy's male enhancement product. Lead the charge to BrutalAlchemy.com to obtain the essential elements of your brutal transformation. Brutal Alchemy. It's better to be a member of the Horde than to be destroyed by it.
German, American technologies. Compete harder with GATT supplements. Need energy? Gotta lose the fat? Jet Fuel is the answer. Want to build muscle? Use Testogen to ramp up testosterone and start adding the size. How about some muscle-exploding pumps and an enhanced training experience? You gotta get your hands on some Jet Fuel. Jet Fuel, GATT's newest nitric oxide training supplement that's guaranteed to work the second you try it. Join the team. Visit German American Technologies website now at TeamGATT.com. That's TeamGATT.com. German American Technologies. Compete harder. TeamGATT.com.
Who are the Iron Sirens? The heroes. Susie Curry. Adela Garcia. Jenny Lynn. Crystal Richardson. Who are the Dark Divas? Gina Aliotti as Diva X. Jen Gates as Shade. Liza Kamstra as Black Lotus. Sonia Gonzalez as Raptress. And their story is told only in Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens is a one-of-a-kind limited edition comic book series and is the brainchild of J.M. Mannion. Order your copy of Iron Sirens today before they're gone. Visit IronSirensComics.com. That's IronSirensComics.com to get your copy of Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens. RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com. Heavy Muscle Radio.
Hi, this is Lou Ferrigno of Incredible Hulk. You are listening to Heavy Muscle Radio with John Romano and Dave Palumbo. And keep listening to the best show on the air.
This hour of Heavy Muscle Radio is brought to you by ALR Industries. Visit ALRIndustries.com.
All right, our next guest is our good friend and eight-time Mr. Olympia, the Big Nasty himself, Ronnie Coleman. Now, were you impressed with Jay Cutler and then the package he brought to the stage?
I hadn't really gone to the show because I did so many shows right there and I never got a chance to do anything else. So now, since I don't have to go, I haven't been going to the show. So Friday night, you know, I've always wanted to see some shows. So I took in Chris Angel's show.
How was that?
It was amazing.
Really? Yeah. He, you know, I went to high school with him. He was in my homeroom class, that kid.
Yeah, he's a pretty good guy. He's definitely talented. And yeah. One of the best in the business, that's for sure.
Did you see Carrot Top?
You know what? No, I saw Carrot Top was outside my hotel. He was teasing me about how big I was.
did Chris Angel do any? Did he pick you out of the audience and do anything with you?
No, he didn't pick. No, I got there kind of late.
Oh, okay. He didn't even see after the show, probably.
And plus, I was sitting so close. He was kind of picking people in the second row. I was in the first row.
Oh, okay. How can he miss you?
Because I got there kind of late. And
See, if you would have gone to a comedy show, they would have heckled you probably walking in late.
He never came to my side. Yeah, I went to a comedy show. I always try to sit in the back because they always get me at the comedy show.
Yeah, I can imagine you're a target.
I'm trying to hide. So come Saturday night, when the show was going on, after I left the Expo, man, I was so tired. I think I just lay down for a few minutes and took a nap, and after that I went straight to the gym because
that's dedication, man.
I missed Friday because I was so busy, and we had the Chris Angel show. So I wanted to get me a quick workout in, and by the time I finished working out, the show was over.
Wow, Ronnie missed the whole Mr. Olympia contest. Wow. Did you look at any of the pictures?
Not really. My wife was looking at a few pictures the other day, and
at least he's honest. Are you just not into bugging?
I was doing something else at the time, so I wasn't really paying too much attention.
Are you just not into bodybuilding anymore?
No. I'm very much into it. I'm just not into it like I was before.
Right.
So because I'm not into it.
Right. What'd your wife think of Jay Cutler?
Oh no, she don't like Jay.
Well,
she's in love with Kai Greene.
Oh, she likes Kai's physique. Yeah.
Oh, she loved him to death. She said he's the only thing close to me.
Yeah, that's what I said too. Yeah. I said he's like the new Ronnie Coleman, you know.
Yeah, she was just over there just praising him to death, like he's the next me or something.
He might be, but he's not as tall as you. But here's the loaded question: at your best, do you think you would have beaten Jay?
Oh, easily.
All right. Well, that's confidence. I agree.
What about Branch in second place? You think he deserved that? I mean, what'd your wife think?
Branch is—he normally gets pretty. He looked pretty good at the Arnold, and I thought he should have been higher. So I don't know. Maybe they were making up for maybe they were making up for not placing him high at the Arnold or something.
You might never know. Yeah.
I thought he should have been higher, but I didn't really see that too much of the show. So
you didn't see any of the show.
Exactly. I didn't see any of the show. I didn't even see prejudging.
Wow.
I was going to ask you, you know, who you thought was a letdown, but, you know, maybe we should ask your wife.
Actually, I kind of thought Kai was a letdown.
Yeah, he wasn't his best.
I just was so sure he was going to be right up there, 1-2.
Right.
Do you think it's hard, Ronnie, do you think it's hard to peak twice a year for a show? I mean, I know you've done it.
You know what? I had him in second because it's so hard. I remember in 2001. When I did the Arnold, and then I came back and did the Olympia,
right?
I almost died.
Yeah, I remember that.
I almost lost that show because I was so exhausted the morning of the show that when I got out of bed, it was hard for me to get out of bed, first of all. And when I got out, I was so exhausted, I had to drink a gallon of water.
Really?
Yeah, I had to drink a gallon because I thought I wasn't going to make it to the stage.
You drank a gallon of water that morning?
That morning, I drank a whole gallon of water because it was like I was so sick and I was so exhausted that, hey, I'm not going to even make the show. I'm going to the hospital.
Wow.
No one knows that. That's pretty interesting. No, this is the first time I heard that.
Yeah. I didn't tell too many people about that. The night before, I was putting on my tan and I just collapsed.
Wow, really?
Yeah, I remember I was standing there, and somebody, I think it was either my girlfriend at the time or Jan Tanner, was putting on my tan, and the next thing I remember, I was waking up in the bathtub.
Oh, shoot.
I had fallen over into the bathtub, but whoever was putting on my tan kind of caught me. I guess they were watching me. Well, they had to be watching me.
Who could catch you? You weigh 300 pounds.
Well, Jan Tanner. They didn't really catch it. They kind of like... kind of like help me with my fall.
Gotcha.
Right.
Gotcha. Controlled crash.
Yeah, controlled fall. But I was just that exhausted. But by the next morning, I couldn't get out of bed. I was sick. My stomach was sick. I didn't have no energy whatsoever.
Wow.
And none whatsoever.
You think that was from trying to peak twice in 1 year?
Oh, I know it was. Because, you know, I thought I was Superman until that happened to me.
Yeah, it's rough. It's a rough, you know, road to take.
Yeah, it's a very rough road to take.
You know what it is? It's because the Olympia is very close to the Arnold. So when you must have gone and done that Arnold, you probably were almost, you know, overtrained at that point because you didn't take any rest after that show.
No, I really didn't. My body was just overworked.
You're used to taking 4 months off.
Exactly. And, you know, that year I didn't take any time off because I went straight from the Olympia, and I started dieting about a month later for the Arnold.
Wow. Yeah. So maybe Kai had a similar issue. You know, his body just didn't want to respond because he did the Arnold.
Yeah, That's why I said he was going to probably get second.
Yeah.
It's going to be kind of hard for him to get first.
So you think he should have beat Dexter, though, huh?
Who, Kai?
Yeah.
I mean, just comparing the two, Kai Greene body against Dexter's body, yeah.
Okay, well, because you're a size guy. You like the more the size, obviously.
There you go. There
you go. Yeah, I am too.
I like Dexter, but I had Dexter in first place, actually.
Did you really?
Yeah, he's not like me. I did too.
Yeah, I had Dexter winning the show, and I had Kai in second.
Now, why do you like Dexter over Jay? Just structure?
Yeah, shape.
Gotcha.
Okay. Shape and structure.
Dexter looks like the Sandow Trophy.
Exactly. Much.
Now, Ronnie, you sit at the BSN booth the whole you were pretty much there all day Friday and Saturday. You were mobbed every time I walked by there by people wanting your autograph. It's almost incredible that this many people still are, you know, so fanatical about you. Does that make you feel good that you're so still so loved in this sport?
The feeling is over. overzealous for me because, man, I was a little shocked, to be honest with you. I mean, I sold out of everything I brought almost on Friday.
What? Really?
Yeah, and I had two suitcases full of stuff, and that line was long.
How many pictures did you sell?
All of them.
Was there over?
I ran out of pictures. It's the first time I've ever ran out of pictures, if I can remember.
There was a lot of people at that expo. That's
how many did you bring?
I have no idea. My sister packs all the bags for me, so I don't know how many she puts in there.
We got to get your sister on the phone.
Yeah, yeah.
Was it over 500?
I have no idea. I mean,
was it a big stack?
I'm there just signing and taking pictures.
Next time, Ronnie, we're just gonna have your girlfriend, your wife, and your sister on the show because they have all the information.
Well, I mean, they money.
How much money did you collect? That's a better question.
About 9,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
Imagine if you had another suitcase full of shit, man.
Cleaned up if I had another suitcase. I'd have gave anything for another suitcase.
Jeff, the producer, will bring a suitcase for you if you cut him in on a commission there.
Yeah, that would have been nice. I could have did some damage.
Yeah, you could have sent your sister home and got Friday and got another one and come back on Saturday.
Yeah.
But Friday, this is something I can't remember whether I've seen it or not before or not. But Friday was so crazy that you know, at a certain time I had to take a break.
Oh yeah.
There was a long line. I mean, it was crazy, and I took a break. I mean, you know. And like I said, when I got ready to take a break, the line was, I mean, it was still crazy. I took a break. I came back, and that same line was still there.
Wow. They waited?
Wow.
They waited. I went and got something to eat, you know.
Yeah. Where's your
favorite? They don't let us eat at the booth.
Where's your favorite place to eat in Vegas, Ronnie?
Oh, man. What is it? Morton's?
Yeah. What do you eat there when you go there?
I eat there every time I go there.
What do you eat? What do you get? Two meals?
I always get steak and potato.
You don't get the chicken too? I usually get two meals, don't you?
No, that's at Outback. I get steak. Oh. Well, I eat at Outback too. That's my second favorite. So yeah. I eat steak and chicken at Outback.
The steak is big enough at Morton's for you?
Yeah, the steak is big, kind of big. Yeah.
Which one do you get? The ribeye or the T-bone?
I don't eat anything but filet.
Oh, really?
He's like me. He eats the filets. He doesn't like the fat. Yeah.
Yeah, filet only. That's all I go for.
Now, John's right. I'm thinking about this for a minute here. You sold out on Friday. Why didn't you send your sister back? You could have chartered her a first class ticket on any plane you wanted and get her back and forth with another suitcase full of stuff for Saturday.
You know what? I'm gonna be honest with you. I didn't even realize it.
Oh, you didn't know?
Because my wife, she was sitting there just handing me everything, and you know, when it got time to leave, I mean, the place had closed, and I still had a line there. You know, I was still signing.
You
stuff.
Were still signing. Holy
yeah,
man.
So wow. when I finally finished, I ran to the bathroom. When I came back, everything was all packed up and ready to go. And she was saying something like, "We out of stuff," and you know, it didn't click with me because
it's
never happened before.
Right.
I'm like, sound like she said we was out of stuff, but yeah, whatever. I mean, I got all this early.
Yeah,
got a whole another day left.
Right.
But you know, yeah, I didn't really figure it out till the next day, and I got there and I saw taking stuff out of the bag. I'm like, wait a minute,
there's nothing left. Nothing here.
There's nothing left here.
Wow. You know, it's funny because 8-time Mr. Olympia, he hasn't competed for 2 years, and he's probably still the most popular bodybuilder on the planet. That's amazing.
Seems like it. One of them.
Now, I know you didn't see the Johnny Jackson Ben White liftoff. I'm convinced because I didn't see you watching it, but I'm sure you heard that Johnny defeated Ben. Now, we had Johnny on the radio show last week, and I made a proposition to him. I said that in next year's event, where there's right now there's a guaranteed $20,000 in prize money, I said I'd like to see Ben White, Johnny Jackson, Stan Efferding, the White Rhino, and Ronnie Coleman lift off against each other. And when I mentioned that to him,
He had this to say about you. And Jeff, do you have the clip?
I tried to get Ronnie ass, you know, on that, you know, lifting stage before earlier.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? So, you know, he's running and running and running. And still running. And I heard he's got out of shape and a little fat, so he might not be able to run so fast to get away this time.
Okay.
We can do it for free if Ronnie would disagree and come on in so I can kick his ass too and get that over with. Because it was ridiculous that Ronnie versus Johnny on YouTube where, you know, every clip I was in, I was like dieting. And right. then he was like full and strong and picking up all this heavy weight. You know what I mean? And then they show me, I'm all ripped and dieting.
Right.
I'm like, what the hell is this? You know, but whatever.
Yeah, he's telling the truth.
Yes?
Yeah.
What?
I can't mess with Johnny on, what was it, deadlifting, squatting?
He wanted deadlift.
Deadlift and bench, I think he wanted to do.
Yeah. I don't have that no more. I don't have that strength no more. I'm probably like a little over half of that now.
Oh, really? So you are really injured then, huh?
Yeah. Well, I had back surgery.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. You did? When?
2007. It's been a couple of years now.
What did they fix?
I had a herniated disc back in '96, and it just never quit bothering me.
Wait a minute, you had a herniated disc in '96?
Yeah.
And you trained through 8 Mr. Olympias with a herniated disc?
Yeah, sure did.
Squatting 800 pounds and deadlifting God knows how much.
Yep.
Wow.
And backstage, my leg locked up every show. I mean,
really?
Wow. Yeah.
A sciatic nerve.
Bad. And my left leg was always smaller than my right one too, so I had a lot of trouble with that thing forever, and I finally just had to get surgery on it. And once the surgery, that went the strength right there. They took the bone out or something.
So you just don't have that drive anymore from that area?
I don't have that strength. I got the drive.
Oh. Do you think that's some kind of thing you could work back to now that you've got the problem fixed?
I don't know. It's going to take some time. Those surgeries, I mean, they take a long time to heal up.
Yeah, they do.
I didn't know it until I had one.
Right. Would you like having the title of the world's strongest bodybuilder on top of the 8 Mr. Olympias?
Oh, yeah. I'd love to have the title of world's strongest bodybuilder. If you'd have got me before the surgery, maybe I could have got it.
That would have been great.
Now, I guarantee you I could have beaten him before that, you know.
But what were your best lifts when you were at your strongest? Because Brian Dobson told me that he thinks that if you had applied yourself, you could have definitely been the world's greatest powerlifter if you wanted to.
Yeah. I mean, I squatted 800 for a double real easy. I could have got 850 easily.
Wow.
I could have got about 4 or 5 reps with 800. And I deadlifted, you know, 800 for a couple. Now, I probably could have put another 30, 40 pounds on there and did, you know, maybe a single or something.
Wow. That's incredible.
I mean, I think that would have been strong enough to be the world's strongest. And I benched 500 for 10 reps.
Wow. Really? Holy mackerel.
So, I don't think them guys could have hung with that.
You know? No, way. No way, dude. No way. Did you wear a bench shirt?
And all my stuff that I did is on my videotape now. So, I can say this and say, hey, here it is right here.
Right, that's right. True. You know, but they'll
see, leg press, almost 2,300 pounds for 8 reps.
True. But, you know, they're all, you know what they're going to say? They're going to say there was no official, you know, sanctioned guy there. There wasn't 3 referees. You know, they'll pull that crap, you know, I'm sure.
Yeah, whatever. They can pull all the crap they want to. It's still old tape.
That's true. Right. That's true, right. Well, what about the, and I know you don't watch the shows, I don't know why I'm asking you this, but what about the under 202 class? Do you know anything
about it? By the way, who won that thing?
Case in point. Kevin English won.
Yeah, Kevin English.
Oh, Kevin won?
Yeah.
Wow. I was thinking, what's his name, David would have won that.
David Henry?
David Henry, yeah.
If he had been in better shape, he would have. He had definitely been harder before. But, you know, I don't know. Do you think the Olympia should just have one class of guys, or do you like this under 202 idea?
Yeah, I like the 202 idea. Gives the guy that are not as big, you know, a chance, because we're not all equal.
True.
So I like the 202 class, and I like Washington because those guys are really in real good shape for the most part. You know, I was watching a little bit of it from where I was sitting, and I like, dang, everybody over there just come on stage is in shape.
Yeah, they all were ripped.
Yeah. So I like that 202 class, and I think they should put that on the main stage too.
I agree.
You think? What do you think about my idea? Well, my idea. I think other people have the idea too. I'd like to see the winner of the 202 go against the winner of the Open. Wouldn't that be good in like an overall?
No. That wouldn't be fair.
Why not though? What?
that wouldn't be fair. That's like putting up a high school kid against a full grown out of college kid.
Well, they used to do it back in the day. I mean, Arnold went up against Franco.
Who won?
Arnold every time. But yeah.
I guess that's your point.
I have a funny question to ask you, Ronnie. I know you're married now and you're out of the dating market, but do you have Ronnie Coleman groupies? You know, like girls that are just infatuated with you because you're Ronnie Coleman?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Doesn't that amaze you? Like, because, you know, bodybuilders usually don't have that, but you have, like, this bunch of, like, people that just are absolutely crazy about you.
Yeah, and actually, you know, my wife loves it because those girls, they come up and they'll buy just about anything I got.
Oh, do they really?
Plus, your wife probably likes knowing the idea.
One time, a girl gave me I think she gave me $100 for a kiss. I mean, just a kiss on the jaw.
Right.
And then this one girl gave me like $300 for a hug and a kiss.
Really?
Wow.
Wow, I got to get some of those fans, man.
And my wife was right there, you know, collecting the money.
Oh, of course. And does they ever, did any girls ever ask you to, like, you know, did they ever show you a tattoo or anyone get any tattoos of you on them?
No, but there's some guys that have that.
Oh, God.
Supposedly, there's a guy running around with a tattoo of Dave and I on him.
Yeah. That's kind of scary.
Yeah.
That's a huge compliment.
All right, so you got $100 for a kiss, $300 for a hug and a kiss. Is there a line that your wife is going to draw somewhere?
No, she ain't going to let me go no further than that. that's a line. That was a line right there.
$300 mark. All right. Do they write you fun? Do you ever get like some crazy emails from women like that are just completely insane?
Not too many. No. Not too many. I might get a few every now and then, but... I don't know. If I can't see you, I can't trust you.
That's true. What about
I'll forward them to her.
What about from men? You ever get like some like ridiculous like I want your dirty underwear or anything like that? Any kind?
Oh yeah.
Wow.
I get those too. I delete those real fast.
Right. You should send them to NASA. NASA right here sells his dirty underwear to the.
I had a big old drawer full of one time, and I made sure I destroyed them myself.
You could have put them on eBay. You would have been loaded, man.
No. That's okay. That's like selling your soul to the devil.
That's true. Yeah. You're right.
How about breasts? Have you ever autographed a breast?
Oh, many. Yeah, I've had them just take it out right there.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
In the United States or in other countries?
In other countries.
Yeah. Like what?
I've had too many in the United States.
What countries does that happen in a lot?
That happened in France, Paris, one time.
Wow.
I remember very well. And maybe Spain.
Isn't that know? Where your wife is from?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Is that how you met her?
Yeah, exactly. But she wasn't the one that pulled it
right,
out.
Right. Oh, yeah. How about glutes? Have you ever signed a glute?
No, okay. Never.
No one's asked.
No, I don't think nobody that you know when it comes to group, they probably not that confident.
Yeah, that's right. Now, what was the biggest breast you ever signed?
Shoot, that one right there in France was huge.
So you could sign Ronnie Coleman, 8-time Mr. Olympia.
Yeah, exactly.
And it all fit on one. And all the years that you won, right?
Exactly.
98, 99, 2000. Okay, that's kind of good.
I got to ask you, Ronnie, since we're speaking about women and breasts and all of this, you know, the women have all these divisions to compete in. You got women bodybuilders, you got fitness, figure, and now the bikini division. Is there any of those that you particularly like more than the other?
Man. See, I don't really even watch it, but anything got anything to do with women, I'm for it. So
the more the better.
Yeah, the more the better. I really don't pick one over the other. I haven't seen the bikini thing yet.
Yeah, it's pretty new. They have the pro division will start next year.
Yeah, so I had never seen any shows like that.
But are you more you know attracted to the muscular physique of a woman or more you know rounded kind of you know T&A?
Yeah, I'm more of a rounded kind of
thing. Yeah, gotcha. Well, you dated Vicky Gates for many years. She was always a bigger girl.
Yeah, but she was just she had a lot of roundness going on.
She does. Yeah, she's got a good glutes
off season.
Yeah, so mostly all the girls I've dated have been pretty much was like that.
Yeah. Well, at least you know what you like.
That's true.
Oh, yeah.
Right, where are we going to see you next? What's your next appearance? I heard you're going to overseas now.
Yeah, I leave for Australia. I'm going over there for 3 weeks Monday.
You going to be with Tony Daugherty over there?
Yeah.
Yeah, they love you. They love you over there.
Yeah, I'm going to Melbourne, Darwin. I think it's Brisbane, Gold Coast. And Sydney. I got five guest posing.
Do you hang out with Lee Priest when you're there?
You know what? Lee, this will be the first time that I've been there, and Lee lives there now, right?
Yeah,
this will be the first time that I've been there, that he's been there. I've been to Australia since 1997, probably about 8 or 9 times.
Wow.
And this will be the first time that he's been there.
How do you make the flight, Ronnie? What do you do? What do you, drug yourself up or something?
No. I watch TV.
The whole time?
Yeah. I watch TV and sleep.
So isn't it like a 20-hour flight?
Well, from here, I got to go from here to L.A., which is like 3 hours, and then from L.A. to Sydney, which is like 15. So it's like 18 hours.
What do you bring, like 8 meals with you?
No. I don't bring any meals with me.
You don't?
I just eat what they have on the plane.
Are you kidding me? What do they got on the plane? They feed you that many times?
He goes first class.
Yeah. I'm in first class, so they have a lot of food up there.
Oh, they do? What do you like to eat when you're on those long flights?
I always just eat steak.
They'll feed you 5-6 times when you're on the plane?
Well, they'll feed you probably about 3 times somewhere in there.
That's enough for you?
Yeah, and then I might bring a shake or something.
Oh, okay.
Steaks.
Yeah. So, even the first class seats, John, have to be small for this guy. 15 hours, my God.
Not really. They're pretty big.
Yeah, really. Plus, don't they have those big reclining, you know, they're almost like beds, right?
Oh, yeah, those seats are huge. And, yeah, they're like, and there's so much space between the seats, too.
I guess I never flown in one of those seats, John, so I wouldn't know how comfortable they are.
They're very, very comfortable.
They have some now that almost makes like a little bedroom for you over there.
It's almost like a little bedroom.
Yeah, it reclines all the way back. It's got a little divider. You put your feet up. You got TV in there. I could do that.
Yeah, it's not bad at all.
But in the back where we have to fly, I'd be knocking down roofanols. Rum is it with rum and coke. Otherwise, I'd go out of my mind.
Yeah, that might not be a bad idea.
Now, Ronnie, when you go over to Australia, you know what would you? I mean, I imagine it's probably very lucrative for you to go over there because they probably love you. What do you make on a typical trip over there?
Well, my last trip, I made about 50.
Wow. Holy moly. For how long? How long were you there?
I was there for about 3 weeks.
Well, that's not bad. So they really take care of you, huh?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's the best. I mean, it don't get no better in Australia for me.
But John, what's the laws on making money overseas? Do you have to pay taxes on that?
Oh, yeah. That must suck.
Yeah. Well, you're supposed to report it. He's going to bring in 50 G's in cash. So, I mean, who knows?
he goes home and buys a new armor.
But now that presents an interesting question, Ronnie. You know, when you come back into the country, you're supposed to fill out a customs declaration, and it asks you if you're carrying more than $10,000 in cash.
I never do. I always ship my...
Wire it.
wire my money back.
Smart. That's very smart. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't bring that kind of cash.
Yeah, back. You're better off. You probably just have picture money with you, probably, right?
Yeah. If I have money, it's less than 10.
Good. Right. That's smart. Good.
Well, Ronnie, it sounds like no money be given away.
No.
Ronnie has a degree in accounting. He knows all this stuff.
Oh yeah. See, I bet you never thought you'd use your accounting for counting all the money you're making, right?
I never thought I'd use it. But.
Yeah, I'm really happy, Ronnie, that you're still doing so well because you're not even competing. You're probably making almost as much money as you did when you did compete, huh?
I wish.
Oh, it's not. It's a lot less.
It's a whole lot less.
It's the prize money you're not counting.
Yeah, that's
exactly.
True.
There you go.
Yeah, but well,
you know, BSN pays you well, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And then you're knocking down 50 G's for a 3-week vacation. That ain't bad either.
Yeah.
You know, as you get used to that elevated level, now Ronnie's probably seeing the prize money's 200 grand at the Olympia. He's probably kicking himself that he's wishing he was making that, right?
Well, you know, that's a lot of work. So.
Yeah, but Ronnie, what was the most you made when you won the Olympia?
150.
They give him 200 grand now for first place.
Yeah, I need to probably try and go back.
doesn't that piss you off? They wait till you leave to jack up the price.
Yeah, I need to try and see if I can get back in on track again or something.
Yeah, a couple of one at least one more that would be nice.
Yeah,
that,
see if I can get me one of them 200.
That's right.
That'd be amazing.
That would be the world's greatest comeback story of all time. They'd make a movie about you if you did.
Yeah, they would.
Yeah, but I did get 200 one year. That year I won the Harlem and the Olympia. So.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you did. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Now, wait a minute. Now I got 300 because $106,000 Hummer.
That's right.
That they sent me a 1099 form on.
No, did they really?
That I had no clue was coming.
Oh my God!
You
owed all the taxes on that. Holy shit!
Yeah, thank you. Just think about it.
30 grand you had to pay on the Hummer.
Exactly.
Right.
Wow.
Not to mention the taxes on the prize itself. Yeah.
That's crazy. On the prize itself. You know, they send you two 1099. Yeah.
Wow.
That's one for the prize money and one for the Hummer. I'm like, what?
You should have told them to shove the Hummer up their ass.
Oh, man. But I still got that Hummer, though.
Oh, you still drive it?
The yellow one?
I still got it. Wow. I still got it, yeah.
Yeah, Steve Blackman still has his.
Oh, he won one, too?
No, sort of.
He bought one because Arnold was driving one.
Yeah, Arnold was driving, so he bought one.
Oh, okay.
So now, is that motivating to you, 200 grand? Is that enough to get Ronnie Coleman back in his posing trunks?
Yeah.
Wow. So we may see you do this.
If I can get back in the shape that I need to get back into, yeah.
I'll tell you one thing. You look the best I've seen you in about 2 years at the Olympia. You look lean and you look big.
Rested. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to see if I could get myself back into shape.
Well, now, are you still training at home or do you go make it back down to Metroflex?
Yeah, I've been making it back to Metroflex.
Oh, that means he's getting hungry, John.
Yeah, that's a place to be hungry.
Yeah, so I'm trying to revert back to my old ways.
Yeah, you got to get the eye of the tiger back there, Ronnie.
Yeah.
Well, you'll do it.
See if I can do something. If not, then it was. I've had a great one.
Yeah, you got a career and a half already. But you know, if you can come back again, you know, it would be a great comeback story. That's for sure.
Yeah.
We got to get Ronnie out here to New York. And,
New York? I thought y'all were in Florida.
No, I moved. I moved to New York.
I'm in New York now, yeah.
Oh, you still just got the Florida phone number.
Yeah, I do.
But you called me, what, 2 days ago?
Yesterday I called you.
That was yesterday?
Yeah,
I was out of town.
Yeah, it's all a blur. But next time you come to New York, Dave and I got to take you to, with Jimmy the Bull, we got to go to Little Italy and go to one of those restaurants there.
That sounds good.
Actually, Ronnie likes to go to Scores. Are you allowed to go there, or is that banned now?
I can't go there no more.
Sorry. Oh, well. We'll have to go to a real restaurant.
Yeah, we'll go to a restaurant, hang out with Ronnie Coleman.
Ronnie, you know, thanks for, you know, we appreciate you calling in and taking time out of your schedule. I wish you would have seen the Olympia, but, you know, maybe next year we'll catch you.
Did you guys see it? Was it a good show?
Yeah, I thought it was a good show. Yeah, I had enjoyed myself. I probably would have had Dexter above Ronnie. I mean, Dexter above Branch, but other than that, I think the placings were pretty accurate.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't really see it, so... However they place it is how they place it.
Yeah, you know what it is? It was really built to be a much better show, but I think a lot of guys weren't 100%. And because of that, it didn't turn out to be the show that everyone expected. You know, Jay did his homework. He came in great shape. And there was really no one there to challenge him. Kai Greene wasn't at his best. You know, Dexter was a little too small, even though he might have been, you know, shaped better. And I think that that's what it came down to. I think had everyone been at their best, you know, it would have been a different show.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to come at your best if you've already competed, though, in the show.
True.
Yeah. Half the guys were out of shape. I mean, you know, it was going to be this big battle, you know, Phil Heath, you know, Victor Martinez, Kai Greene. I mean, all these guys could have been first place, but they...
And Phil didn't really have an excuse. I had him up in the top three for sure.
Yeah.
He said he got sick the day before the show. He had some kind of stomach virus.
Oh, that's too bad.
But who knows?
That's no fun at all.
Nah, you know that. I mean, that's it's almost like you feel like you're cursed when that happens right before a show.
Man,
like King, it's like that happens to King Kamali like 14 times in his career.
Well, he's a real young guy, so.
Yeah, he's got a few good ones left.
The age Phil Heath is now is the age I was when I did my first show.
Wow. Yeah, so that was a long time ago.
Yeah. So. You know, he's got plenty of time.
I hear you. All right, Ronnie, go relax and enjoy your trip to Australia. And maybe when you get back, you'll give us a call. You'll update us on what happened out there.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, Ronnie. Thanks a lot.
Have a good one.
This is Heavy Muscle Radio, only on RXMuscle.com. ALR Industries. ALR Industries products are backed by 3 decades of experience in the science and lifelong dedication to bodybuilding from its founder, Arthur L. Ray. In 2001, ALR Industries was created to give the hardcore bodybuilder the edge you need to build the perfect beast. Hyperdrive 3.0 is a synergistic blend of fat-burning herbs which yields the most potent legally available formula on the market today. Hyperdrive 3.0 will burn fat, control your appetite, improve your mood and focus, and give you an energy boost you've never experienced. Restore blocks estrogen, enhances libido, and optimizes free testosterone. You'll be stronger, recover faster, and build muscle like never before. Then, fuel your workouts with the great-tasting and energy-enhancing Hyper Shot. Hyper Shot will boost your athletic performance to new levels, allowing you to train harder, improve your endurance, and get the most out of your time in the gym. Whining is not an option for those who refuse to accept mediocrity. Visit ALRIndustries.com today. When you hit the gym, you set in motion a fundamental set of molecular activation signals and cellular growth mechanisms that deliver your desired gains in mass and strength. The magnitude of those processes, as well as how efficiently your muscles recover force production, can dramatically affect your net progress in a training cycle. Progenics protein supplements interact precisely and powerfully to amplify these pathways to produce enhanced growth responses of 100% or more compared to conventional whey protein sources. And they facilitate full recovery of force production in just 6 hours following the most grueling workout, allowing you to train harder, more frequently, for more dramatic gains. Experience the exclusive metabolic advantage available from Nature's Toolbox and Dr. Scott Connolly, renowned pioneer in applied dairy science and inventor of the original Metrex product. Go to ProgenicsSRG.com and use the code NBR801 to get 10% off the purchase of any single Progenics product. When the world crumbles around you, will you be ready to fight back? Brutal Alchemy Performance Nutrition's unique line of supplements will help you win the war in the gym. Ancient Strength is a unique blend of 3 creatine esters which will infuse you with the ancient strength needed for the battle at hand. Isolation is a pure whey protein isolate that provides 26 grams of protein in every 29 gram scoop. Attack NO2 is Brutal Alchemy's nitric oxide booster that will increase your pumps and performance. After your battle in the gym, it's time for Onslaught, Brutal Alchemy's comprehensive post-workout drink, providing everything you need to suffuse your muscles, joints, and body with the components to heal, grow stronger, and return to the fray. And when it's time to conquer in the bedroom, you'll need Forged Steel, Brutal Alchemy's male enhancement product. Lead the charge to BrutalAlchemy.com to obtain the essential elements of your brutal transformation. Brutal Alchemy. It's better to be a member of the Horde than to be destroyed by it.
German, American, Technologies. Compete harder with GATT supplements. Need energy? Gotta lose the fat? Jet Fuel is the answer. Want to build muscle? Use Testogen to ramp up testosterone and start adding the size. How about some muscle-exploding pumps and an enhanced training experience? You gotta get your hands on some Jet Fuel. Jet Fuel, GATT's newest nitric oxide training supplement that's guaranteed to work the second you try it. Join the team. Visit German American Technologies website now. At TeamGAT.com. That's TeamGAT.com. German American Technologies. Compete harder. TeamGAT.com.
Who are the Iron Sirens? The heroes. Susie Curry. Adela Garcia. Jenny Lynn. Crystal Richardson. Who are the Dark Divas? Gina Aliotti as Diva X. Jen Gates as Shade. Liza Kamstra as Black Lotus. Sonia Gonzalez as Raptress. And their story is told only in Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens is a one-of-a-kind limited edition comic book series and is the brainchild of J.M. Mannion. Order your copy of Iron Sirens today before they're gone. Visit IronSirensComics.com. That's IronSirensComics.com to get your copy of Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens. RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
Heavy Muscle Radio.
Hey, this is the Game, Triple H from the WWE. You're listening to Heavy Muscle Radio with John Romano and Dave Palumbo.
This hour of Heavy Muscle Radio is brought to you by Progenix. Visit ProgenixSRG.com.
All right, our next guest is a four-time natural Mr. Universe, four-time powerlifting champion, captain of the American Gladiators, a new series, and a budding Hollywood actor with a new feature movie coming up. Without further ado, I'd like to welcome our good friend, Mike O'Hearn.
What's up, the kids?
What's up, Mike? You're a busy guy, man.
Yeah, it's getting there, isn't it? It's a good thing.
Yeah, yeah. You know, because a lot of our listeners may not know who you are or know very much about you, even though we do. Give us a little brief history of, you know, how you got into the whole iron game, powerlifting, bodybuilding, all that stuff.
Born and raised in Kirkland, Washington, outside of Seattle. Brothers and sisters, you know, I got a, 10 brothers and sisters.
10?
And 10.
Whole, oh, you're Irish,
dude,
that's
we got,
right.
We got like a whole clan up there, man.
You're wow. Irish Catholic?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy, they don't believe in birth control, John.
No, they don't.
Yeah, no go on that one. let's see, and then basically I was the youngest pup getting my ass kicked by my brothers and sisters, so I figured I had to do something.
You're the baby?
I'm the baby.
Wow.
Can't you guys tell me when you know? I mean, you guys know me. You know I'm a big baby.
How old's your oldest brother or sister?
Oh, kid, you can't. I don't know. Don't start asking birthdays and all that. I don't know that shit. I have them. That's all that matters.
Oh, here's the question. Here's the question. Can you name all 10 of them?
Yeah, Anna Mary, John, Kate, Jim, Bishop, Joe, Mike, Roseanne, Dad, and Mom.
Wow.
Wow.
All right. That's good.
But, yeah, they all weightlifted. My dad was a, you know, a bodybuilder and martial artist, and my mom was a martial artist. So we all kind of followed their footsteps as, how it started, but really how it started is in, I was a teenager competing at the teenage national levels as a bodybuilder.
Right.
And then I said, well, you know what, I want to go see Mr. Olympia. So I went out to see the Mr. Olympia, I think it was in Chicago at the time.
What year was that?
I think it was 1990.
Yeah, yeah. The Haney one, right?
Haney. Yeah. No, Haney, yeah, yeah. Was it first time.
And I went out there, and some guy named, I don't know, what was it, Joe, help me on the last name, it's, I start with a W, oh, Weeder, that's right.
Joe Weeder.
Came up to me and said,
why is this?
Mike. Yeah, I know.
Mike,
who are you? You're all good. I can, you know, I'm going to put you on the cover of the magazine.
He really said that to you?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, came right up to me, talked to me, and next thing I know, 3 months later, they flew me down to Cabo San Lucas with about 6 girl models, and I was shooting covers.
Lucky bastard, man.
And no, I said, wow, this is fun.
Now, was this before or after you did that postcard that I see all the time on the rack in Fort Lauderdale at every tourist trap in the world? I got Michael Hearn that doing was, this.
This is before. This is, I was a complete pup. I was 19. I was a pup. And, yeah, the most recent thing I did was like teenage nationals in bodybuilding. And then I won the, I took second at the nationals in powerlifting against the men though.
Really?
But I was going back and forth between powerlifting and bodybuilding.
So you're always a strong guy though.
Yeah, no, our family's just kind of that genetic kind of stupid retard strength.
Yeah, he could deadlift like crazy.
No, I'm jealous. So it sucks. The guys. I was talking about this with my girlfriend, Colette. You're just too good looking. You know. You haven't seen these guys, John. It's not.
That's my disguise.
It's not fair. It's not fair. Almost. Yeah. There's something wrong there. You're just too good looking. You're not. You can't be that good looking and be a guy.
Yeah. Did you get a vig off every one of those freaking postcards they sell off the rack?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. No, that's. What that keeps me mortgage paid?
Does it really?
Yeah.
I mean, you can't go to any tourist location in America where there's a beach, and those where they sell the T-shirts and all the
shells.
Yeah,
I've seen the card.
Yeah,
I've seen the card.
Yeah,
the shorts? You like the shorts somewhere?
No comment. That's a gray area.
What were they like? Polka dotted little speedos or something? Yeah.
Didn't you have one with a Santa Claus hat on too?
The greeting card. Yeah.
So every one of those cards, you get a vig off of.
Yeah.
Really?
God, damn.
I did a card once, and there was a buyout. I made like $300. That was it or something like that.
No, and that's understandable. A lot of people will go, hey, I'll take the cash up front. You know what? I'll take the 10 cents over a long period of time.
Is that what it comes out to, something like that?
Yeah, so something like that. It's a small little thing that doesn't sound good at the time, but if you think about it, it's like, kid, that'll be on there for 20, 30 years.
Yeah. You get a check every month?
Yeah, it's every like quarter.
So what do you make off of those?
Oh, gee, I have no clue.
Pays the mortgage, you said.
Yeah. So it's like all those kind of residual things help out. You know, I did a movie, Death Becomes Her, years ago, and I still get checks for that.
You did that? You were in that movie?
Yeah, I was one of the Buff Boys.
Wow. And you still get residuals from that, huh?
Yeah.
I did something on MTV, too, once, John, and I get a residual check, like, all the time. It's like 4 cents.
Yeah, yeah.
It's cost more to process the thing.
What do you do with those? I get checks like that, too. It's like, what do you do with it?
I cash them. Fuck those people.
I save them.
I cash them. I'm like, fuck them. I'm getting my money.
I get them from Gladiators still sometimes. They're like, you know, 30 cents.
It's amazing that they can find you still after all those years.
I know. It's funny.
Get you a gumdrop.
That's it.
Now, Mike, you won the Natural Mr. Universe title 4 times.
Now, I'm selfish. Yeah.
Well, you know, you got to move over and let somebody else do it. Now, is this the same? The universe seems to have gotten a blurred, you know, kind of distinction over the years. Is this the same title that John Hansen won? John Hansen?
Yes. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
Now, who puts on that contest?
Denny Kakos is the guy that was running it. I don't know if he's still involved, because the last time I won it was, I think 99, right before I did the NPC Mr. California Super Heavies and won that.
So why did you ever do the Nationals in the NPC?
Because I put it this way, I never cared that the judges, those 9 guys or 12 people, would think that my body's the best. Yeah, in the sense of when I got on stage, I go, this is how I like my body to look. And I knew, because I was natural, and I knew that's where I could make a difference and go, you know what, you can have the body you want to look like and go here.
Right.
And I never wanted to go down the other road.
Why is that?
I think it's because, I mean, the truth of the matter is, I'm the youngest of, 10 brothers and sisters. I saw some of them do it.
Right.
You know, I saw my sister do steroids, and, she went off to win the Emerald Cup, which is a huge show.
What's her name? What's her name?
Patty. My sister, Patty.
Patty O'Hearn?
And she, yep. Okay. And she's talked about it. She won the Emerald Cup. She went off to the North American and took fourth. And, you know, she did really well. And I competed against my brothers. And my brothers won Mr. Seattle, Mr. Washington. But they were older, and they did the stuff. And what I noticed is they would jump ahead so far from me. But then they would get off the stuff, and I would slowly catch up. And then they'd get back on and jump forward again. But I kept everything that I trained for, and they would lose it, come back, then go forward, then come back and go forward. And I go, yeah, that's not appealing to me. I like the continuous race of continuously just going and keeping everything that I put on. And I really hated the idea that you'd get stronger and then lose that strength.
Yeah.
That's something, because being the youngest, you know, you get that little flinch problem. You know, because everybody's coming by and smacking you, and I'm like, I got to always be ready.
Right.
So I never wanted to be weak, and I always, you know, we all started martial arts by the time we were six, and it's just one of those things that the martial arts and the strength was more important to me than the big trophy for bodybuilding.
What style do you study?
I started with Taekwondo and Karate, but then I moved over to Jeet Kune Do. I wrestled my whole life, but then I really found something in Judo. And Valley Tudo. Judo was just basically a lot of throws, and then we get you to the ground, and we lock you out, and choke you out, or armbar you. And then Valley Tudo is just a mix of everything.
You never wanted to get into any MMA fighting, did you?
I won the Seattle, Washington State Taekwondo Championships and California Judo Championships 2 years in a row.
You never worried about messing that face up?
That's my disguise, because everybody looks at me and goes, oh, that guy's going to be easy. It's the funniest thing on the Gladiators or Battle Dome before then or anything like that. They go, wow, I didn't see that coming.
You know, you're a big guy, too. You're tall, so you know you're definitely deceptive looking until you get up close next to you and then you see how big you are.
Oh, man, people say that. They go, dude, I thought you were like 170.
And you're what, like 260, you tell me?
281 right now.
Wow. 281?
281.63.
Holy shit,
damn!
He's a big deal. Well, we'll get back to the Hollywood thing in a second. Yeah, but let me go over to the fact that you've been on probably more magazine covers than any person around. Do you have a record or something like that? I mean, are you the most photographed?
It's funny because it's over 500, but that's not just fitness covers. That's like romance book covers and other magazines outside of the fitness world as well.
I don't think anyone's got more than
500.
Is that more than Rick Valente?
Yeah. No. Muscle Fitness did a poll just of their magazine alone, and it's Arnold, then me, then Lou Ferrigno.
Wow, that's pretty impressive. The company's keeping. Now, who is the hottest girl you ever appeared with on the cover?
Wow.
We ask the tough questions here on Heavy Muscle.
Yeah, look at you. I would think my ex, Madesha.
Right. Now, you were married to her, correct?
I was married. Yeah, we were high school, college sweethearts.
Really? I didn't know that. So you guys got married later in life, didn't you?
No, we got married pretty young. Just nobody knew about it.
Oh, you kind of kept it a secret. Why'd you get divorced?
I believe life is about dreams, about continuing your dream and stuff. My ultimate goal is never to wear a suit in a 9-to-5 job.
Me neither.
Yeah, see? So you guys understand that.
Right.
And I think it was just came to a point where she's like, I want 9-to-5 and...
Security.
A steady life.
She wanted security.
You know where the next check is and all this and stuff. And I said, it's my one life. I kind of like the idea.
Was she hitting you with the kids, too? Was she seeing the biological clock ticking?
Yeah, the kid thing was starting up and all that. And the one big, big issue is I come from 10 brothers and sisters. And we're a little bit more selfish at this stage compared to, I want tons of kids. It's like, no, I kind of want that attention. Right. I know it's selfish, but it's also just being what I believe in me.
So what year were you married to her until?
I think we ended in 2000.
Okay, so now let's do this, John. Let's look at this. This is like probably one of the most eligible guys in all of California. Like probably one of the best looking guys. He's got magazine covers, and the guy's married for until 2000.
But are you married now?
No, I'm not.
So you've just been macking all this mad hot asshole all over the place. Or do you have a steady girl?
I actually have a girlfriend now.
Yeah, he does now. He does.
For how long?
We've been dating for about 5 years.
Are we allowed to mention her name?
5 years we've been dating.
That's kind of long.
It is kind of long. Yeah. I mean, I like my girls, but and I like my relationship, but it's just it always kind of skitters out when it's like let's get married and have kids.
Right. Is this been a monogamous relationship?
Yep.
Now he's good. No, because think about it. He was married till 2000. He's got her for 5 years. He's obviously a very focused guy. You're not like a you don't go out and party, obviously, right?
No, I'm not a party guy. You know, I have to go out to clubs and stuff when like NBC says, "Hey, we need you to make a red carpet appearance" and that kind of stuff.
Right.
But I'm not a party guy. My the one thing I do, I really enjoy training. If it's martial arts, powerlifting, or bodybuilding, or any of that, I love that stuff. And I'm a movie buff, and I'm really focused on. I'm more of a movie guy. I'm a bore.
You're a homebody. Yeah, you're a homebody.
I know what you're trying to say is like, dude, if I look like you, I'd be out spanking ass and doing my thing. But you know, I've had my time. I've been crazy.
Yeah.
But I think I lived enough for all three of us.
When did the whole Hollywood scene open up to you?
I don't think it really opened up until I focused on it.
What was your first acting job?
Oh, well, no. My first, I mean, I was booking gigs when I wasn't even focused on it. So, like, Death Becomes Her was some of my early stuff. And people don't know this, but some people do. I was Mighty Thor on American Gladiators. I was the first alternate.
Right. Oh, really?
The original season.
I remember that. I was there.
But a lot of other people don't know that. I was just a little alternate boy learning from the gurus, the main guys.
Nitro, he was your buddy.
Dan Clark.
I never knew that. He was a good looking guy back in the day.
He's a cool cat too, man.
Yeah, he was
cool cat.
Martial artist also. You guys got along.
Yes, we did, and we actually had him back for the first season on this show, not on TV, but we had him at camp and stuff, just trying to talk to the rookies about how to act, how to portray yourself, and that kind of thing.
Now, is this new version of Gladiators getting a better shake than the original version?
Well, how do you mean? Because the original was a freaking icon.
Yeah, it was, but you know, it never got. You know, Goldwyn treated it like a redheaded stepchild. It never got the attention, the promotion. It never got what it deserved. It was really, truly a kids' show, and they tried marketing it as TNA, and it sort of never found its found its footing. And I think that's why it fizzled out. Now, what, NBC has it now?
Well, remember, it went 7 years.
Yeah, it went 7 years, but, you know, during that seven years,
huge.
I mean, it's huge, but the Gladiators were treated like shit.
No. That is just the typical Hollywood attitude.
Really?
Yeah. Because you get a whole bunch of producers and guys that sit there and go, we're going to direct this. They're thinking of just meatheads. That's the problem with the shows. The original Gladiators, Battle Dome, is a show I did after that we just tore people up. They run on great athletes, Ultimate Fighters, ex-football players. We broke legs.
Yeah.
But it's the same thing. And then on this show, you get a whole bunch of guys that never played sports before, and they run this show, and it's like, stop complaining. You got a gig. You know, this is all you're going to get financially. They don't really pay that crazy, you know, sitcom series money.
No, they got scale. They got after scale. Wow, yeah. That's terrible.
I remember being there and listening to all, like, Dan and those guys and Lee talk about how much they're getting paid going back. Let's all team together and get more money. And it's one of those things that it's like, oh, we'll just go find another guy.
You ever see Lee anymore?
I do. I see Lee every once in a while, you know, because he is a... Now, you talk about parties. That boy can rock it.
But he's doing commercials like crazy.
Oh, yeah. But he's got the gift of gab. That boy's just great.
He's incredible.
Now, yeah. are you the highest paid guy at Gladiator since you're the captain, so to speak?
So the show's really fun.
Never mind. I'll take that as a no.
Right, talk to me about this latest movie that you're filming. You just finished filming, you told me.
Armante Sante, Vin Rames, James Caan. I'm talking cool cats, man. Wow. Cool cats. It's a movie called Barry Mako. It'll be Mako. It'll come out next year, Universal. And it's a Catch Me If You Can kind of movie, like the one with Tom Hanks.
Right.
So it's very similar to that. It's a true story about a guy named Barry Manko that was a white-collar crime guy back in the 80s. Famous, famous guy.
Who do you play?
I play Mr. Green. I am the guy that came after him, the hitman, because he borrowed money from the mob. And I am the guy that came after him and finally got him to go, okay, you know what, this is, I'm in the wrong business.
You don't really look like the kind of hitman type of guy, I guess.
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing. Baby's got range.
Do they have
you see it? Yeah. You'll see it. My hair is really black. I got a huge scruff beard.
Oh, that's right. I remember seeing you in the city. Like, you were all scruffed up. Is that what that was for?
Yeah, that's what the pre-shoots were for. That whole look. Yeah, it's a completely different look than, you know, the blonde-haired, clean-shaven look on American Gladiators.
Wow.
Huh. And it's great, too, because they got me speaking Spanish and French through the movie, and it's a really, it's a nice character. It's probably the biggest thing I've ever done.
Wow. Good luck, man. That's awesome. Yeah. Well,
yeah, let's be out next year.
Let's switch gears for a minute here. I saw you at the liftoff between Ben White and Johnny Jackson at the Olympia last weekend.
Got me fired up.
Yeah, did those guys impress you?
Johnny's deadlift did.
Yeah, 8:30 and change.
8:17.
8:15.
8:15.
8:15. Tried an 8:37, missed it. The two things that impressed me, man, both really nice guys.
Yeah.
Really nice guy. I mean, I've known all these guys for years and stuff, but really when you sit down and talk to somebody about his passion, you can really see the love they have for something.
Right.
And those guys, man, I feel like they just changed something. I think that event is going to pull some people in. It's going to get even more packed.
I like that of the whole weekend.
Wasn't
that
great?
But they fucked up. They had it in the corner at the end of the expo. They should have had it on the Mr. Olympia stage during intermission or something.
See, that would have been cool.
Yeah, now
that would have been cool.
Rumor has it that you said, and correct me if I'm wrong, that you are willing to lift against these guys if they can pass a drug test.
100%, and I'll put up my own $10,000.
But now, let's just backtrack here a second. Obviously, neither of those guys can pass a drug test. So
don't say that.
No, I think they could probably. They could pass the drug test, but do you want a guy who can just pass the drug test, or you want a guy who's really not taking drugs?
That's a good point. No, if we're going to go raw, let's go raw. Let's no belt, no. But that's just me. I mean, if they want to be Jack and whoever does the competition and tons of steroids and get the biggest lift, that's cool too. But for me to go against somebody, I'd love somebody just to step up and go, yeah, I'll get off the drugs, I'll go in clean, and I'll go no belt, no wraps. No shirts, no bench shirts.
No belt, no. Either?
Yeah. No belt. No, I don't lift with a belt.
He wow. Doesn't. What are your best totals?
Well, I did an 8:15, a 600, and a 770. With no equipment, that's some of the equipment there.
Okay.
Without equipment, I did a 775.
On what?
Dead.
In video. No, a squat.
Squat?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
A 560.
Bench.
And a 760 deadlift.
Why don't you just? You don't even have to. Who cares if they had taken drugs? You would have won.
I know, but you know what's nice is when you go into somebody square up and you destroy them.
Yeah, but why not do it clean?
I am going to go train with these guys because they got me jazzed.
Yeah, but
looking at that stuff.
The point I'm trying to make, Mike, is that let's say Johnny Jackson goes off. How long does he have to go off for to make it?
Forget it. Let him stay on. I'm more impressed if he beats him when they're on the shit.
That would be much more impressive.
Well, then that's what I got to work for.
Yeah.
That's the next step. I got to, seeing that and watching those guys, I'm like,
Yeah, because.
And now that I'm working with bodybuilding.com more,
they can make it happen.
These guys fly me out there and train with these guys.
They can make it happen. We should schedule this for the Arnold. We got to make this happen at the Arnold. Get Lorma to put you, Johnny,
Stan Efferding,
and Ben White on stage.
And Ronnie Coleman.
Yeah, we can get Ronnie, that would be great too.
Well, he's going to be on next. So yeah.
I talked to Ronnie, man, and it sounds like he's fired up for something like this.
I think he should get. Johnny says that he backed down from him when he challenged him a couple years ago. I can't believe that. Ronnie says it's not true, but Johnny says it is. I'd love to get all of you up on stage. I'd watch
Wait,
that.
Who back down? Who back down?
Ronnie called. Yeah, Ronnie.
That's what Johnny said. He was supposed to make something happen. This was a couple of years ago when Ronnie was doing the crazy lifts too, and supposedly Ronnie backed out. But then I don't believe it.
I don't believe it. I challenged Ronnie, but I challenged Ronnie 15 years ago.
Oh, did you really?
On a deadlift challenge, because we were both ADFPA power lifters, and we were both at the time 242 lifters. Wow. And he did a 740, and I did a 760, and this was before he was, like, blowing up.
Right.
And I was like, I'll take you on.
Now, I remember you from back in Gold's Gym, you know, a million years ago. You were always throwing down heavy weights with no belt, no wraps, no straps. I think you might have used chalk a couple of times, is all I saw you use.
I used chalk. What a wimp. Man. A
lot of chalk. What a mess you used to make.
Put on it, baby.
what do you think about Stan Efferding offered to put up 10 grand and his white Hummer to anyone who could total in three lifts more than his best, which was, I think, is 22 something or another? Why don't you go after that, man? You could drive home in a nice white Hummer.
That's a huge total, and that's so true. But the only difference is, right now, I would love to do the Arnold with these guys, because right now I got my next movie coming up.
Oh, really?
And I got to be Mr. Slice and Dice for it.
Ah, okay. Well, maybe by the Arnold you'll be back to.
By the Arnold, I can just blow right back up and go off season and go bam.
And like he said, the great thing is it doesn't matter. It's really because he's not on stuff. He doesn't have those setbacks, and he kind of his strength comes right back. No.
Yep.
I'd love
that's the thing. It's one of those things. Like I told you early on, I like it that I know that strength is always there.
I'd love to see Michael Hearn drive home from the Arnold with that white Hummer. It would just be like the classic ending to a great video we could film, John. You know?
And with the tear rolling down Stan Efferding's cheek.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And Ben White like fucking all pissed off. You know.
But I'm talking to Bybone.com to have me fly up there and like just train with Stan for a week up there at Smelly's Gym.
Yeah.
Head down to Texas and train with Johnny.
And then up to Albany for Ben. Yeah.
Yeah. These guys train. I love that. Don't you guys like that? The way they train relative to...
We love it.
I love it.
These are people at Venice Golds.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you know when squats in Venice Golds.
Back in the day they did.
No, they didn't. They never did.
It's like I come in here and I deadlift and people look over, what are you doing? you're wild, sir.
Quiet down.
Man,
quiet down.
What happened to the gym?
So, getting back to your love life.
Yeah.
Forget it. Let's not get back to love. I'll get too depressed. So now, when you become
girlfriend Sherilyn Roy?
Well, we were.
She denied that you guys were dating it when I interviewed her.
Yeah. Then I guess I'm free to go crazy. Then
that's true.
She wouldn't answer the question. What was that about?
Maybe she was mad at me that week.
That was the Olympia week. That was last week.
She was dieting. She was delirious.
I was on a rampage or something.
Oh, were you on the shit list that week?
It was in Vegas. Come on, she was dieted down.
All right, you're excused. All right.
So now, when you become a big Hollywood star, which you practically already are, will you promise to still do our radio and TV shows?
Kid, I ain't going to be like some people that try to forget their past. This is what created me.
We want to get you to agree now because, you know, but you get to
I'm agreeing now. I'm going nowhere.
I got the clip now. We got an MP3 of this.
I don't want to be going to your publicist, you know, and wait. Well, Mr. O'Hearn will get back to you.
Skip it. Meatheads.
What's coming up? Any movies coming up now?
I start on October 16th, my next movie called Alter Ego.
Who's in that?
And we're basically going back to finish up a project that we started, but when they edited, they wanted more footage, and so we're going back to finish up. It's basically a superhero that has multiple personalities.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, this guy's he's a little whack.
You're the superhero?
That is correct, sir.
Wow. Speaking of superheroes, were you really up for Superman, the new movie?
Yeah, got down to the end there. Got down to the very end.
What was the deciding factor?
The deciding factor is I was Superman. That was a given.
Right.
Definitely 100% Superman. The problem is they wanted, even though the movie was called Superman, they wanted a Clark Kent.
Okay.
Yeah, you're too good looking. Yeah. That's the problem. Yeah.
And so they went with a full-on somebody that was Clark Kent. So, and that's what happens.
Yeah, but you know,
the movie bombs, and then now they come back and do it again with me.
Are they gonna?
I hope so.
Is that? Do you have a possibility of that happening?
It didn't do well. It did not do well.
Right, right.
In the box office, and I don't know, most of the stuff that I got back. I mean, if not me or somebody, I thought like the kid from Smallville should have had it.
Yeah, he was good. But you know what? You have the physique. You got the physique. You look like a Superman.
Yeah, but that's the thing. And that's where I thought they were going to go, you know, because it's called Superman, with a guy that is super and then a man. But they didn't do that.
Was your age a problem? Because maybe they went with a younger guy? He looks young.
I think that's probably a curiosity, too, because of the fact that they're going to do two or three of these. So they want somebody that's a young pup. And that's what they're doing most Hollywood stuff right now.
Right. They should worry about the first movie before they worry about the second, too, don't you think?
I think so. But that's what I love about Stallone and these guys. Mickey Rourke. This new movie coming out, The Expendables.
Yeah, it's supposed to be good.
How crazy is that going
to
be?
We've been waiting for 20 years to see all these guys in a movie together.
Yeah, I just read something on Yahoo today saying all these guys are too old to be action heroes.
Yeah.
Well, the reason why they're still making them and still selling is because we want to see Bruce Willis do it.
Right.
And these guys do it. It's like, what are you talking about, man?
Plus, none of these other actors have the physique. I mean, you know, who is his attitude?
It's like, I understand, you know, you want a 24-year-old or a 28-year-old or whatever, but when there's only so much acting you can do relative to... You know, when you meet the guy, you could bitch slap him and knock him out.
Right.
It's like, you know, you would like that kind of guy that's like Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah.
You know, if you meet him and you slap him, he'll just pop you right back.
Right. Well, you got that cocky
action hero.
You got that cocky attitude too. You'd be a perfect Superman, I think.
We'll put in a good word for you.
Mike, did you guys do that for me?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah, of course. We have so many contacts in Hollywood, so
yeah. They listen to us.
Hey, Steve Blackman, what's going on?
I don't know. You tell us. Can you bitch slap him for us?
I want to because I want to challenge him to any of his pros that he has under contract. I know he has like Silvio or some other guys under contract. He goes, Mike O'Hearn. Now he trains like a fitness model.
He said that about you?
He said that. And so I said, well, I'll put up $10,000 against your guys that you put in black and white pictures and make them look like they're lifting hard and all this. I'll take them on.
I don't think he has Silvio though.
No, he has Branch, Dennis Wolf. Dennis Wolf.
He'll probably fire Dennis Wolf in a minute.
Yeah.
I'll take Dennis Wolf on. Let's see him squat.
Yeah. I don't think any of those guys squat, but unfortunately.
Branch, you'd have your hands full of Branch.
Branch would be a fun one to go against.
Yeah.
Because I know he's pretty strong on some lists.
Yeah, he's pretty hardcore.
I'm looking
for an extra $10,000 if they tear a muscle.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that, you know, Blackman wouldn't go after you.
I mean,
you're the pretty boy. He likes that.
Well, no. I'm just surprised that, you know, he's put me in his magazine so much and everything, and then he goes, yeah, he trains like a fitness model. And I'm just curious, and maybe your callers can help out and call in and tell us what is a fitness model anyway?
I don't know.
I have no clue what that is.
He likes the super freaky, ripped, hard, striated, skeletal, vein-popping, eyeball-bulging bodybuilders.
Everything he's not.
Yeah. And you don't fit that mold, unfortunately.
Fortunately.
Because you're going to be a lot more successful. Man. But, Mike, we appreciate you calling in, man. And
you guys rock, man.
You got to keep us updated. Keep us updated.
Did you get
that part of the deal? We always do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we had a ball.
That was a blast.
Say hello to Sherilyn for us. And
I will. My ex-girlfriend. Okay.
Your ex-girlfriend. Yeah. Tell us. We'll interview her next week so she can tell us about how you guys broke up.
Yeah.
All right.
All right,
buddy. All right, guys.
Be good.
Stay in touch.
All right, John. I mean, this was one of the better shows. I didn't expect it. It was kind of like all the guests kind of were last minute, but Michael Hart is really a character. He's not only a funny guy, because you know sometimes these guys that like are these pretty model guys are just like very straight laced, and he's got a good personality. I really enjoy talking to him, you know.
Yeah, and he's been around forever. I mean, I knew him back in Gold's Gym and you know in the 90s, and he was I think he looks exactly the same now as he does then. The guy hasn't aged an hour.
And he's got 10 brothers and sisters. Holy mackerel.
I know, man. And he was married to an ultra-hot girl, and now he's got an ultra-hot girlfriend. The guy's living the dream.
And I guarantee he's going to make it in Hollywood. I'm telling you, I got it. Something in my gut tells me this guy's going to make it. He's got the personality for it.
Yep.
And he's not afraid to say what's on his mind, which, I don't know, that may hurt him also. But I'm telling you, he's got the look. The guy still looks like he's 25 years old.
Yeah, he does. And he's getting parts. He's getting gigs.
Yeah.
And Ronnie Coleman was our usual Ronnie Coleman. He was awesome. I wish he had watched the Olympia.
Yeah.
It would have made some of our questions relevant.
Well, you know, the funny thing is Ronnie Coleman's the only guy you can actually have on a show, have him have no knowledge of anything you want to ask him about, but yet still have interesting stuff to talk about with him.
Yes, yes.
Because he'll pretty much answer any question. He's an open book, the guy.
He's a good guy. A good friend of ours.
Yeah, definitely, without a doubt. Now, he works for, it's amazing, BSN has stuck with him, even though he hasn't competed in 2 years. And BSN has done some great stuff for us, too, because, John, I'd like to announce, you know, officially here, even though a lot of people have speculated on the boards, they will be sponsoring all our coverage on RX Muscle for the 2009 NPC Nationals. So we got to thank him for that.
BSN is a great company. We're good friends of ours, and I'm glad that we've made this kind of strategic alliance and hope it carries forward. And, you know, while we're thanking sponsors, I don't want to leave out, you know, ALRI, Arthur L. Ray, and Progenix, Dr. Scott Connolly. I'm drinking my Progenix right now, and I'm feeling it permeating the cells of my body as we speak.
Sean lived the whole weekend on poison, pretty much, so I don't think he could have made it through the weekend without it.
Yes, and you know, our other sponsor, Brutal Alchemy, has this stuff called Kick in the Ass, or Ass, what's it called, Jeff?
Ass Lightning.
Ass Lightning, that's it. You know what? I took that, I was feeling a little tired before the show, and I drank one of those things. I swear I could feel it coming on like a controlled substance.
He looks, doesn't Jeff, doesn't John look like he has Tourette's today, though, from that? It's like his whole body's just uncontrollably telling you.
The really funny thing is you look kind of tired before, now you're up.
I know.
It works.
He's wide awake.
I'm wide awake now.
And then, believe me, I got almost 9 hours sleep last night.
Wow.
Well, you know, at the end of the week, Dave, I'm shot. I've been getting 5 hours of sleep all night, all week, because I stay up late working. I have to get up early to take Max to school,
right.
And I got to survive on 5 hours. By the time Friday comes along, I'm shot. Hmm. So, get doing the show today early on Saturday rather than Sunday, I needed a little help.
Well, I'm looking forward to Dr. Scott Connolly's going to start coming out here, John, as soon as you finish the studio,
right?
And we're going to start doing a weekly or monthly, I should say, supplement show with him, and I think that's going to be exciting. And he's got a whole bunch of new products coming out, and I'm looking forward to that occurring in the next couple of weeks. You know, as we approach the November 1st mark, I think we're going to see a lot of changes over here at RX Muscle, and I'm just happy in general that all the sponsors are finally seeing the great work we're doing, and they're jumping on board and supporting everything that we've got planned.
Yeah, I do too, and it's I can't wait for Dr. Connolly to come out to the studio and start doing those kind of shows out there. You know, I'm almost done building it, and we'll be, as Jimmy the Bull says, going live pretty soon now.
Yeah, and I want to thank Good Day Mate, who has helped us out the whole weekend at the Olympia there. Nick the Stick did a great job. Jeff the producer, of course, who we now call Jeff the audio guy.
Right. Allie, my girl.
Allie, yeah.
Right.
Jimmy the Bull.
We're hence calling Dave the boss, and we're calling John the other boss.
Right. Okay. And
because we are.
Exactly. And everyone below you guys are bitches.
That's exactly. Right.
Exactly.
You're starting to get it.
Diego's bitch number one.
Right.
So at least he's number one on the bitch column.
That's right.
You don't have to worry about that.
Daniel's looking pretty good. I got to tell.
Yeah, him. You know, I other than the fact that you know, when I came up here and the other day to do the Whack Pack show, you know, and it was nine guys in your living room, one of them half naked. Other than the incredibly homosexual atmosphere that created, I have to say, from a purely bodybuilding standpoint, that Diego is coming in.
Yeah, he's transformed himself dramatically from when he first started.
Yeah, he has,
and that's,
for sure.
You can tell he's working pretty hard. So.
Yep.
Anyway, what we got to look forward to next week is the Billy Gunn's Bench Press Challenge.
Yes.
That's going to take place, I think, next Thursday on the Whack Pack show. And, John, before we go, I just want to mention this past Whack Pack show and was probably one of our best I think we ever done. So if anyone wants to get a load of what went on at the Olympia behind the scenes between Jimmy the Bull and Jeff the producer and all the crazy antics of Mr. G, should tune into that show because that was one of the best ones we've done, I think.
By far, it was one of the best. I've listened to it twice so far. I'm still cracking up.
Crack-a-lacka, as Flex Willow would say.
Crack-a-lacka.
All right. Well, we are at that time again. We got to close up shop here. I'd like to thank our guests, Mike O'Hearn and 8-time Mr. Olympia, Ronnie Coleman, for stopping by. Until next week, remember, with Heavy Muscle Radio, the truth hurts.
Heavy Muscle Radio is a presentation of RxMuscle.com, the truth in bodybuilding. Tune in next week at the same time for another round with Dave Palumbo and John Romano, only on Heavy Muscle Radio.